Iberia's only daily live call-in talk show.
Twenty-four minutes after 10 o'clock, my pleasure once again to welcome back Marty Harrell and another edition of Positively Iberia on this positively beautiful Thursday morning. Marty, how are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm doing pretty good. You know, I think the thing right now is seasonal allergies have got most of us, and unfortunately it got me too. But I'm working through it, and hey, it's all good in the long run for sure. So, and while it's unlike me to open Positively Iberia on a sad note, we would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge and I'm sure that I speak for our community when I say our broken hearts are with Uvalde, Texas, especially the lost and injured, and with great thanks to those who bravely faced the danger, the first responders. And since the topic today of our show is one aspect of our own emergency responders, I'd like to ask Chief Guy Bonin of the Iberia Parish Fire District Number 1, our guest panelist, to share the firefighters' pledge. Chief, let me bring you in here. Sorry about that. Okay, there you go. Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am. When I am called to duty, God, wherever flames may rage, give me the strength to save some life, whatever be its age. Help me to embrace a child before it is too late, or help some older person from the horror of that fate. Enable me to be alert and hear the weakest shout, and quickly and efficiently to put the fire out. I want to fill my calling and give the best in me to guard my neighbor and protect their property. And if according to your will, I have to lose my life, please bless with your protecting hands my children and my wife.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Chief, so much. Now, as Chief will attest, there isn't a firefighter out there that isn't familiar with this prayer. Often seen on station walls, giving a boost of courage to the firefighters before responding to an emergency. The origin of the prayer, originally known as the fireman's prayer, was changed in recent years to be more gender neutral, and it dates to the mid-1900s, shortly after the end of World War II. It was written by a Wichita, Kansas Fire Department firefighter, A.W. Smokey Lynn. He acquired the nickname at a young age after a fire broke out in his grandfather's barn, and Lynn ran into the smoke and flames to save his grandfather's Model T truck by driving it out of the barn. The incident that inspired the prayer came after Lynn fought a fiery blaze in a building where several children were trapped. The firefighters did their best, but they were unable to make rescue due to iron bars that had covered the windows. Sadness gripping Smokey's heart, he let out his emotions in the form of the fireman's prayer, portraying the feelings he felt that night, and asked and his firefighter oath to save lives, even if it meant sacrificing his own. He calls to God for strength, asked to have heightened senses to hear the weakest shout and the ability to put the fire out, and acknowledges that his calling may mean the loss of his own life. Then he asked God to protect his family. Strength, courage, faith, skills, abilities, and sacrifice. That's what it takes to be a firefighter, no matter how challenging the obstacle may be. And today we're proud to welcome Chief Guy Bonin to Positively Iberia so we can get an update on the Iberia Parish Fire District Number 1 and for him to share some summer fire safety tips. We want to keep that top of mind. So, okay, Chief, we have a lot. Let's get started. But first, for those who don't know you maybe as well as I do, can you give us just a little quick personal bio maybe?
Yes, ma'am. I've been in the fire service since 1988, born and raised here in New Iberia and Iberia Parish. I've been lucky and very fortunate enough to be the chief for the last 14 years of the Iberia Parish Fire District. And I'm just looking to serve a few more years and keep things going. I'm happily married to a beautiful young lady, Dr. Renee Bonin, and got two kids, Kylan and Lauren. Both of them just moving through life as the day goes day.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
It is.
Now, let's get into an update from the fire district and some of your activities. So I'm going to kind of turn it over to you.
Got you. Well, you know, our call log runs pretty steady. In the parish, we cover about 480 square miles of property throughout the whole parish. We average between 2,800 to 3,100 calls a year. Kind of changed what the fire departments used to do. You know, every time there's something that that needs to be done and maybe other people don't have time, it seems like they call the fire service. So that's kind of why we call it the fire service, because the days of just putting out fires are really non-existent anymore. We have calls for duty where we just may go pick up a person that has fallen in a house, fallen in a yard. Yes, we still do get cats out of trees sometimes. And it really, there's not much we won't do to take care of the people of Iberia Parish. And this isn't just in Iberia. I mean, this is what the fire service has evolved from hazmat to medical to high angle rescues. You know, all of these things are what we train for daily. And we're here when everyone needs.
That's awesome. You know, I guess most of us who are sitting here at home kind of take it all for granted and don't realize that it's not just a group of men and women sitting around a fire station waiting for a fire call. So, you know, like you said, those days are over.
Yes, ma'am. No doubt
about that. And you know, it could be a wreck. It could be just about anything. You'll see a fire truck or a fire response unit just about everywhere alongside the EMTs and that kind of thing. And sometimes our firefighters are the first EMTs on the scene as well.
Yes, ma'am. We work in conjunction with Acadian since we're pretty strategically placed throughout the parish. So we respond parish-wide with every call that Acadian runs. We do a judgment call if it's something that needs assistance from us. But probably I can say 85% of the calls that Acadian runs in the parish, we run with them because we get there first. We'll get vitals, package up patients to where there's not a lag time to get them to the hospital where they need to be taken care of.
That's awesome. And I can tell you, I think I shared this with you off mic earlier this morning. One of my dear friends had a false alarm at her home this morning, and she posted on Facebook that the firefighters were at her house before she could call ADT to let y'all know that it was a false alarm. They were there as quickly as that. That is
yes,
pretty
ma'am.
Awesome. So that's, I'm sure you're proud of that.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, yeah. Ma'am.
Well, I have some notes here. You tell me that you're in a push right now for volunteer firefighters.
Yes, ma'am. We are. And this is a nationwide problem. And it's just a time and economy. You know, back in the day, the volunteers worked at most of the businesses in the towns where their departments were. And we've lost a lot of those smaller businesses. And the bigger businesses, because of insurance and production problems, they can't allow the volunteers to leave their jobs to go fight fires anymore. So we do have a big push. We're trying to just make some different initiatives to try to get the volunteers, but it's just tough. I mean, we have to hold them to the same training standards that we go through. And the group we have now are phenomenal. We could not do what we do without our volunteers. There's nothing can be said other than that, because they are the asset that no one sees. They're the ones that don't make money. They sure don't get the recognition, But they are the ones that get out of bed. They leave their families on Christmas holidays in the morning, and they come out and assist us to take care of the other people's families.
Well, let me ask you this. I know that you have a – you told me you have a like a regular event for people who are interested in becoming a volunteer firefighter.
We're actually we're about to start that.
Oh, okay.
That is going to be a new initiative that we're trying to get this push. We've just had some of our people out. We've had some had to hire some new people. So we're kind of in the middle of trying to figure out a new strategy to bring in people, because I don't want to bring in people and then we don't have the training ability for them right at that time. Because if I'm going to get someone to walk in the door, I want to give them something to do right then. Because if not, then they get bored and they leave. And if I got you out of the house into my house, I got to keep you here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you want to talk a little bit about equipment, because we have some exciting new equipment on the horizon too, right?
Yes, ma'am. I'm actually in the process. We signed contracts on, I budgeted two new trucks for one of our volunteer departments and our station here. And I just secured a $1.2 million bond for 10 years. That's going to actually buy me another fire truck. And I will purchase for the volunteers and us. We'll be getting all brand new air packs and bunker gear.
And you want to tell people what the bunker gear is?
Bunker
I think air packs are one thing.
Yeah, the air packs are pretty much generic. You're going to wear that to breathe in the fires.
Right.
The bunker gear is the coat, pants, boots, helmets, gloves that we wear in that protect us for the short time that we're in a specific or a structure fire. It's our protective gear. And that stuff is right now for a coat and a pair of pants of bunker gear is about $3,000, $4,000.
Wow.
Yes.
So the term I'm familiar with, because as you know, I had a stepson in the fire service. He always talked about it being his turnout gear. Is that the same thing? Okay, cool.
Exact same thing, just different terminology.
All right. Well, good, because I think maybe people might be familiar with that term. So I'm glad we clarified that. That's very interesting. And those fire trucks are being made right here in the state of Louisiana, right?
Yes, ma'am. Ferrer Fire and the Rev Group down in Holden, Louisiana. They are a national company, but they have always been based. They started out in Baton Rouge and moved into the Holden area for space accommodations. And they are a nationwide fire truck manufacturer, probably one of the hidden gems of Louisiana. That is actually where the Spirit of Louisiana for 9/11, that truck was built there at the facility. And that truck was donated by the money from the state of Louisiana. And I'm not talking about the government. I'm talking about the people of Louisiana donated the money to purchase all of the materials that that truck was built with. And it was driven to New York and given to them.
Wow. That's wonderful. Now, you mentioned that your call count and how many square feet or square acres or square miles or whatever the math term was that the parish fire district covers. What's the difference between, obviously, you got a lot more square miles to cover than the city, right? I mean, obviously. That's the situation. But y'all work together when you've got major situations, correct?
Yes, ma'am. There's no difference between the job that our two departments do. We just cover different areas. It's a different taxing base completely. The city fire department, which is actually where I've got my start of my career back in 1988, was with the city. They cover everything within the city limits. And the fire district covers everything from the city limits out to the parish line. We work together. We've had to work together on multiple calls, and we still do to this day. It's a brotherhood, and our family takes care of their family, and their family takes care of ours, and we take care of y'all.
Now, there's a quote that says that tomorrow's victory is today's training, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So what goes on at our parish fire district regarding training? Regular schedule? How does that work?
Every day, our guys and girls have to put in some training, whether it's book training, they'll sit down and read together at the station or hands-on training. We have specific training things that we have to have them do as a group and individual trainings. So we bring them to the training center sometimes to do training. That's another thing that we work with the city. So the city comes in and we do training together with LSU Fireman Training, which is actually now the Louisiana Fire Marshals Training because it's been removed from LSU. But we train together at our training facility on a monthly basis. So our guys get to work with their guys, and we still know each other when we have to meet on a call, and we're not kind of sitting there wondering how we do things. We all do things in the same way.
That's cool. That's very, very important. And speaking of training, just a little tease to our listeners and viewers here. Chief and I are putting our heads together, and we're going to do a very, very special Positively Iberia show on the go the training center sometime this summer. So don't miss that announcement when we get all, you know, obviously it takes a great deal of coordination. We got to get all our people available at the right time, right place, and all that other good stuff. We're working on that. And you talked about the fire trucks. You've invited me to take a ride along with you to go do some inspections at the manufacturer later this year.
Yes, ma'am.
And we're going to do a little special report for Positively Iberia when we do that as well. So
that's great.
It's really exciting to be able to be involved with that because, as I say, I once was in the fire service family. So like aviation, the fire service has a special place in my heart.
You know, it's kind of like the mafia. Once you're in the fire service family, you're always in the fire service family.
Yeah. And my ex-stepson was a fire training officer. So that, you know, that even brought all kinds of, and he was living with us at the time. So we got all the stories. So
yes, ma'am.
It was great. Okay, Chief, you got some other things going on in your professional career right now that we need to be really, really proud of here in Iberia Parish. You are the current seated president of the Louisiana Fire Chief Association. Congratulations. And thank you for bringing that home. First of all, are you bringing the convention here? You know, we always have to.
I am doing my best. It's strategic. I'm working with two of the hotels. We're just, It's tough, but I'm trying. I'm working hard with the two hotels. We're doing the best we can right now.
Yeah, I remember back in the day when I was in the hospitality business. I think that's where we met. I kind of stumbled into the fire department to ask you about hotel rooms, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah. It's been a few years. I've slept a few times since then. But again, congratulations on that. So you want to talk about the focus of that organization and what's going on?
Our main focus for the Louisiana Fire Chiefs is training the up-and-coming company officers to be chiefs and what it takes to run an organization. I'm very fortunate that I've been working with these fire chiefs that I'm the president of the organization now. And we have people we have the assistant chief of Shreveport. That is my assistant chief at this time. I mean, my vice president right now. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's a department of over 500 people. And we cover the whole state. So we have from volunteer chiefs to career chiefs to combination department chiefs like myself. So we can question and answer each other on anything that happens and anything that goes on. And we try to pass those down to the company coming up officers for them to become a better chiefs. Because we always want people to do better than we did. We want to leave it in the best we can, but we always want it to grow. You know, we do a lot of work on the state level with passed, trying to get laws passed to protect us. We just got a bill passed last night out of the Senate unanimously it's a retirement bill to continue to give our retirees insurance benefits if ability is there for you to be able to do it with your budget. And It was a pretty good little fight, but we accomplished the goal and we got it done. And that's probably one of three or four that we're working on. And I haven't seen them turn their back on us yet, so we're doing well.
Well, that's encouraging. That's very encouraging. Yes. If you guys are getting what you need, then that's encouraging, at least for me. I'll say that from a personal standpoint.
I got you.
Makes me glad to hear.
Now, yeah, we just came back from Washington also a month ago. We go up every year to meet with our congressman, and we go visit with them and talk to them about bills and stuff and grants on the national level. Mm-hmm. And we go over there and we usually have a group of 10, 12 chiefs from the state. And we go and eat and meet with each of these representatives, our congressmen, and sit in their office and explain to them what we're needing, what we're looking for from them. And we kind of hold them. You know, it's a lot easier to tell someone over the phone, oh, yeah, I can do that. But when you get to sit face to face, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, you sitting face to face with seven fire chiefs in their Class A uniforms, it makes a big difference, I'm sure.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It sure does.
No doubt about that. Now, you've got a couple of other things going on. The other logo that we threw up on the page, and I'm sorry, it's escaping me right now.
I am the state rep for the National Volunteer Fire Council. That is a group that is represented by two representatives throughout all of the United States.
Okay.
And our goal is to continue to build recruitment and retention of volunteers, training for volunteers, because mm-hmm. you still have a lot of volunteer departments that are just that, just volunteer departments. They don't have the luxury of having millages. You know, they still have to do, the wives make cakes and they do bake sales at church. And that's how they gather their money to buy this equipment. And that's our goal. And it's a huge organization. And I'm very fortunate to be a part of them. And they are truly the backbone of the volunteer fire service throughout the United States.
That's awesome. And one other thing, that's okay. That's, I told everybody up front, we were all fighting allergies, but you also sit on the 911 commission here, right?
Yes, ma'am. I've been the chairman for a couple of years now. We've been able to build our new 911 center out at the airport. Mm-hmm. About $4.5 million project. We finished it up last year, moved all of our people into it, and we have all of our dispatching for 911. Anytime you pick up that phone and you hear one of the ladies or the men in dispatch answer that phone, it's being done right there. And we have a phenomenal group of people that run the facility, and our dispatchers are the best. And we can't do anything without those dispatchers, because if we don't know, we don't go.
There you go. Before we go any further, Jeff, are we okay if we run over a little bit today?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Because we do have quite a bit more territory to cover, and I just want to make sure that we have plenty of time to get there. I hate to rush the chief, and because I know. Now, Chief, before we move into summer fire safety, and that's good, that's very important.
Yes, ma'am.
Anything else you want to add from the update on fire service?
No, ma'am. Just I just want people to be aware that, you know, we have burn bans that are in effect. Right now, it's been lifted. But all we ask is just be careful. If it gets out of hand, if something gets out of hand, don't try to do it by yourself. Call us. We'll come help you. We'll take care of it. It's just a lot of people try to take care of it, and then it gets too big. And then by the time we're there, it's twice that size.
Right.
So just don't hesitate to call us. You know, you can call us, let us know. Hey, ask the question if you can burn something. What can you burn? That's what we have the phones for. I have no problem answering those questions.
Awesome. Now, you've kind of segued us into fire safety, which is good. Now, I found a little quote I want to share with everybody because I think this might stick in some people's heads when they're thinking about it. According to the book, The Art of Reading Smoke, and you tell me that David Dodson is a leading firefighting expert, he says, quote, if the smoke is moving faster than you can, you have been warned. So you want to explain a little bit about that, Chief?
Well, and really in layman's terms, if you've got to remember where there's smoke, there's fire. And all smoke is all of the unburned particles that didn't have enough oxygen to burn, but are still toxic. It's carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, and particulate matter. The particulate matter is the worst part because that gets into your system. That you can inhale that, you can breathe that. So when smoke's moving, it's moving to try to find a way to get more oxygen to make itself bigger. So if you, like I say, if you have smoke coming and it's passing you, you need to be moving. And I mean, that's, there's no other easy way to put it.
Yeah. Because
like I said, where there's smoke, there's fire. And, you know, smoke, you can put out a fire. Our most dangerous time for us is after, because that's when all the unburned carcinogens and particulates are floating in the air.
Yeah.
And we're out there breathing it, cleaning up. And that's where our biggest, the biggest death of the fire service right now between cancer and heart attacks is the particulates that are in the air that we're breathing. And it's just a massive problem.
Because you never really know what's in it, you know, especially, you know, some of these industrial fires and or even home fires with all the things
fire
that we
homes, your sofas, chairs, carpets, you know, just material, everyday material is full of stuff that is when it's burned, it puts off gas and it's toxic.
Well, you know, you mentioned, you know, burn bans and that kind of thing. And we had something happen about a month, maybe 6 weeks ago, that seemed extremely unique for our area because it was a weather warning and it was a red flag weather warning. And everyone was going, what the heck is that? So, Chief, what was that?
That was just so the weather was so dry. The winds were so, and I guess constant, that it really would have took very little. See, when you're in the northern part, northern states, California, stuff like that, red flag warnings go off all over the place and they know. It takes a simple spark during a red flag warning and can take that fire and move it across fields, across properties, houses, any of these things. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you noticed, but we've had a lot of windy conditions this year, a lot more than what we've had in the past few years. I mean, wind is one thing, but we've had some gusty days on weeks come through.
Right.
And it really plays havoc on everything. I mean, you got dust particles that move. You know, you got stuff in the air that can move from area to area being carried in this wind for miles, and you wouldn't know it.
And we don't think of Louisiana as ever being dry. I mean, that's just not a concept for native Louisianians to think of anything here being dry.
Exactly.
So when we've had these periods of time with no rain and that kind of thing, it just all adds up to that one spark.
That's right. And it, like I said, one spark could cause a whole lot of damage to a whole lot of property.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's coming into hurricane season.
Yes,
ma'am. Don't even want to go there, but we gotta. And with hurricane preparation and hurricane post-hurricane comes all kinds of fire issues. So maybe we need to talk a little bit about in the preparation, what to store, how to store all that fuel, make, you know, and then of course, if we have to go to using generators and canned heat and candles and all that post, shall we go there for a minute?
Oh, we can. The biggest, I guess the two biggest things for us is never fill a generator when it's hot. Never fill a generator when it's, you've got to turn the generator off. They actually say you should turn it off after every tank. You run a tank of fuel in it because those are usually good for 8, 12 hours. You let it sit there completely cool down because they're not made to run forever. And a lot of accidents that we have are where people try to fill the generators when they're hot to keep them running or while they're still running. It is the biggest mistake ever. And then running them inside a garage or, you know, and even close to a house where they can get up in the eave and people don't realize that carbon monoxide is going to get in there. It goes right into the house because everything else is being vented from the outside. Mm-hmm. So we got to be very, very careful. That's the two biggest things. Storing it, for the majority, people store their fuels and stuff pretty well. I mean, the container systems that we have these days are built with vents, little weep holes for them to be able to get off these gas and the issues with them. But it's the trying to fill those generators when it's hot and not having them vented correctly is the probably our biggest issue.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, the CO2 and the smoke alarms and that kind of stuff. I know that we always get a reminder in October or when we fall back that you should be changing all of the batteries. But really, you should be changing them at spring forward and fall back in all of those smoke and CO2 detectors. There we go. Sorry.
Definitely. And we should always do them at both times of the year. Spring forward, fall back, change your smoke detector batteries. Change your carbon monoxide detector batteries.
Yeah.
We just acquired some more smoke detectors here. I think the city may have gotten some also. We go out and install them in the homes for the elderly and really anyone that needs them. We'll go and do free installation for them and put them in the house for them and at no charge.
That's awesome. You know, summer always brings a little bit more of the latchkey kids situation. Anything you want to say to parents about kids at home during the summer?
Well, I know, and with the economy and parents having to work, all I can ask is that they set guidelines for your kids what they can and can't do at home.
And make sure the stove is on that list. Huh?
Oh God, yes, please. You know, no grilling outside. You know, stay away from the pools when there's no adults around. You know, I know a lot of people let their kids use the microwaves and stuff. It's just really not a good idea. I mean, we see it. You know, a simple bag of popcorn left in a microwave can cause havoc. And it's, I think everybody's burned something in a microwave.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, just the simple things with your kids, let them know what they can and can't do and hope that they heed those ideas. You know, let them know that, you know, you can't have friends over, or if you do, it's just this one. That way everyone's accountable for who's supposed to be there, because if something happens and we show up and we know little Johnny's there and little Susie's there and little Johnny and Susie are outside, but one of their friends went over and we don't know. So we don't know to look for these people if something happens.
You know, it had never occurred to me about that headcount kind of thing in a crisis like that. That's it goes to show you can be think you're thinking about everything. And the fact that there's an extra soul on board there at that scene makes a whole lot of difference and
no doubt.
Can lead to tragedy.
One, you know, just about every kid's got a phone nowadays. Mm-hmm. Let them know to use 911, not to be scared to do it. Let them know it's not a toy, but let them know to use 911, you know?
And also you mentioned that about grilling this time of year, adults as well. Got a lot more that'll be happening right now or has been happening, grilling and boiling and all that. They have to be careful about the safety in that regard too.
Yeah. Clean your pits. Something a lot of people don't do. 2 years ago, I hadn't cleaned mine and I found out very quick. I had a lot more grease in the bottom of my pit than I thought. So I had to put it out in a fashion that I wasn't too proud, but it does happen. So it just, a simple cleaning of the bottom of the pits, clean the grease up off around it, makes it a lot nicer when you're cooking outside.
And, of course, 4th of July, right?
Yes,
around
ma'am.
The corner.
Yes, ma'am.
Fireworks, yes.
I know it's, I don't think they can pop fireworks in town. I'm not really sure. Parish, there's no ordinance saying you can or you can't. Safety is just our biggest thing. I don't recommend that you have kids out there lighting fireworks. Some of the stuff we buy is good. Some of the stuff, maybe not so much. Not everything is going to go straight up 100 feet in the sky and blow up and be beautiful. Things happen. Accidents happen. But I think if you have an adult around or an adult taking care or supervising, we have a lot less chance of something happening to our children when it comes to the fireworks and the displays. And, you know, it's like I said, I've never been one to say we shouldn't pop fireworks. I just think being careful is a plus, and we can enjoy them better instead of having to take that ride to the hospital or the urgent care or something like that because of a firework mishap.
Yeah, or it go off on the roof of somebody's house, and
yes.
You got that issue going as well.
Yeah, that's a whole other issue.
Yeah, exactly. I guess that's my biggest fear is that, you know, my neighbors will pop fireworks, and then something will come over here and say hello to me that I don't, an unintended visitor.
Yes, ma'am.
So no doubt about that. Anything else of fire safety you feel like we need to cover? We're up at the top of the hour. I don't want to go too long.
I think we've kind of gone through it pretty good.
Okay, well, super. Jeff, can we take another 10?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, good, because I do want to talk about some of the things that are going on here in the community, and we'll get back and get a catch up with Chief before we close out. Friday through Saturday this weekend is ranch sorting out at the Sugarina Fairgrounds. Ranch sorting, for folks who don't know what that is an event that pits a team of two riders on horseback against the clock. They try to cut out the correct cattle and drive them to the pen while keeping the wrong number cattle back. It's very interesting. This is open to the public. You can go take a It's exciting. I've seen some videos of it, and I want to go out and see it live sometime. It is free for spectators. You can check it out Friday from 8 to 11:30 p.m. and Saturday from 9 to – oops, I don't have the 9 to. It just starts at 9 o'clock on Sunday. And I'll be posting links about where you can go and get all the details. Jeff mentioned earlier in his show open that iPal's Odd Couple opens Friday night, and it runs through June the 5th. Or is it tonight? No, is it tonight or tomorrow night that it opens, Jeff?
It is tomorrow night. Two consecutive weekends. There is a Thursday show next weekend.
Oh, okay. That was what was confusing me. Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate that. Thursday, and then there's a matinee on Sunday. So you got evenings, Friday night, Saturday night, matinee Sunday, then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, next weekend. Did I get that right?
Correct.
Okay, good. And I will post the links and where you can get all this on our Facebook page after this. Now, the Beats on the Bayou series at the Isle of Iberia RV Resort features Gordon Bradbury Band this weekend. The live concert is from 6 to 9 under the Isle of Iberia's pavilion. Tickets are $10 for general admission, and it's open to the public. Of course, if you're staying out there, it's one of the things that's free. If you happen to be camping out, I'll have all of the contact information again on the post show notes. And Monday is Memorial Day. We will have a flag ceremony, a 21 gun salute, and patriotic music to commemorate all of our fallen soldiers. That's out at Bullinney Plaza Monday afternoon from 6 to 8. So save a little time and come out and honor our war dead. Now, on the positive side, the Gumbo Poster Contest deadline is May the 31st at 5 o'clock. The deadline to submit your entry into the 32nd annual World Championship Gumbo Cook-Off Poster Contest needs to be in the chamber office by 5 p.m. on Tuesday. The artist of the winning design will receive a $500 honorarium and be featured in the local media. The theme for the poster is all things gumbo, South Louisiana, New Iberia, downtown, Cajun country, Bayou Teche, and you can get more information and read the criterion on the IberiaChamber.org website. And also, don't forget, if you happen to be a poster collector, that the previous year's posters are available for purchase year-round at the chamber office on West Main Street. So makes great gifts. If mom doesn't is maybe missing a poster or dad, you can pick that up. Now, coming up next weekend, Saturday, June the 4th, from 11 to 1, Po' Boys and Puppies is an adoption event for the animals of IPAC at the New Iberia, at the Iberia Parish Animal Shelter. Chamber member National Welding Service will be barbecuing sausage po' boys free of charge. And then you can also enjoy music by Jackson Mesh, and you can try your luck at winning cupcakes in a cupcake walk. Plenty for kids to enjoy, bunny petting station, face painting games, a fun jump, kids crafts, and of course, a meet and greet with the animals of IPAC, who are looking for their forever homes. There's no charge to participate, but we are asking each family to bring at least one or more of the items listed on the Facebook page, on the wish list for the shelter. That will also be on our Facebook page. The cats and dogs can't wait to see you all. And then also next Saturday, June the 4th at 10 a.m., the City of New Iberia is ribbon cutting on the kayak and canoe dock at 115 Superior Street. You can park and launch your kayak or canoe at the City Park boat ramp, and additional parking for those of us who do not have an aquatic vehicle. We could park at Bullany Plaza and take a stroll across the Bayou Bridge. And following the ribbon cutting, there's going to be some fun over at the City Park boat ramp with music by Blake Luquette, and the Rockstar Cafe food truck will be there. So we're celebrating our Bayou Teche. Now, mark your calendars now for Friday, June 17th. Oh, attention ladies, mark your calendar for Friday, June 17th, because that's the day the Greater Iberia Chamber of Commerce is going to hold their annual Inspire event. It's a one-day conference that brings women from all around the parish together for an interactive day of networking and leadership development. And to get you fired up and inspired, there you get two puns for the price of one. In fact, next week, we are spotlighting the event with GICC board member and event chair Annie Bell, legacy sponsor Mandy Pooler from the Town Planner, and a visit with the guest speaker, Melissa Bonan. So next week, it's all about Inspire. Positively Iberia's Show on the Go, as we mentioned, is in the planning stages of a couple of really special reports you won't want to miss. So do keep an eye on our Facebook page as they're confirmed. And if you missed any of the previous Show on the Go events, you'll want to check out our Show on the Go video archive on the Positively Iberia Facebook page. And of course, you can always get the details, find out what's coming up in our regular programming and Show on the Go plans and other announcements by giving Positively Iberia Facebook page a like and follow. This Peek Behind the Curtain Facebook Live recording will post almost immediately, but later today we'll edit and add, in case you missed it, links to the things we mentioned today. And the audio archives are maintained on kane1240.com, where you can click the Positively Iberia page and replay our regular programming on demand. And to Chief, Iberia Parish Fire District and President of the Louisiana Fire Chiefs Association, this has been a special one for me. Thanks for being with us today. You want to quickly one more little thing or how people can contact you, whatever?
If anybody's got any questions about anything today, they can always call at the station here, 365-5872. I just appreciate the time just to be able to talk about our Berry Parish Fire District and what we do as a as an organization and as a family for the families in Iberia Parish. And Miss Marty, I really appreciate it. Jeff, I appreciate you. You've had me in from time to time, and it's always a pleasure.
Our pleasure.
We're glad to have you, Chief. Positively Iberia is produced as an ongoing initiative of your Greater Iberia Chamber of Commerce. We're sponsored by Iberia Medical Center, who reminds everyone, don't delay care. And in cooperation with Tesh Matters here on Kane 107.5 FM and AM 1240, and support from the Daily Iberian. In closing, Henry Jackson Van Dyke Jr., an American author, educator, diplomat, and Presbyterian clergyman, is credited with saying, quote, "Man is the only creature that dares to light a fire and live with it. The reason? Because he alone has learned to put it out." Thankfully, our fire service continues to study and learn more about how to fight the blazes we can't control. We'll see you again Thursday, next Thursday, same time, same station. I'm Marty Harrell, Positively Iberia's program manager and producer, reminding you it's only getting better. Positively.